Welcome to the Stop Drinking Podcast, where we help you make stopping drinking a simple, logical, and easy decision. We help you with tips, tools, and strategies to start living your best life when alcohol-free. If you want to learn more about Stop Drinking Coaching, then head over to www.soberclear.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have got Nicholas joining us from Stamford, Connecticut in the United States. So Nicholas is a corporate communications executive in the pharmaceutical industry. He joined the program in around February, so it's been about 8 months now that he's been in the program, and he's kindly agreed today to come and share his story to inspire some of you guys to keep on his journey. So welcome, Nicholas, and thanks so much for coming on the channel today.
Thank you for having me, Leon.
So one first question, Nicholas, is how long have you not drank for now?
About 8 months since joining the program earlier this year, and that's the longest I've ever gone.
Man, that's awesome, man. So let's go back to before you joined the program. So what was life like before you got started with the program?
I would say I've never, you know, we don't like the term alcoholic, right? But I would say I was a functional drinker, meaning that it was never a detrimental thing to my career. I was able to hold, you know, jobs and have successful six-figure income, a good marriage, relationship, you know, healthy friendships, healthy social life, etc. It was more that it was an undermining force in my life. So it was disrupting my sleep. It was my concentration. It was making me gain weight. It was causing things like acid reflux when I would have red wine. It was just kind of like, and it was kind of, I think, maybe keeping me in a certain zone. It was maybe kind of sapping my ambition or my creativity, my ability to sort of, you know, think bigger picture and push myself. And so I became interested so that was my life before. I wouldn't say it was a thing where I was, you know, a wreck or a mess or, you know, on the street, any of that, but it was an undermining force.
Yeah, love it. So there were like three big words that came up. You used some nice language. The undermining force, it was zapping your ambition and it was holding you from thinking bigger picture. So for you, it was really just holding you back.
Yes, exactly. So I became interested in getting off of the booze. And at the time, I was working at a company where I had a long commute a couple of times a week. So I did an audiobook in my car called Quit Drinking by Alan Carr, Quit Drinking Without Willpower by Alan Carr, which I would encourage anyone to read. As someone who is a professional communicator, it was one of the most persuasive books I've ever read in terms of making a case for something, in this case, the case to not drinking, case for not drinking, rather. And it was so persuasive that after one reading of it in my car, audiobook, I stopped for about 6 months. This was last year in 2022. Mm-hmm. And I was fine, felt great, wasn't tempted, you know, and I ironically quit in the summertime, which is my most social time of year, right? That's typically when I drink the most. It's because I'm entertaining a lot and going to other people's social functions and so on. But then the holidays hit and I just kind of went back. I regressed. I had a drink at a wedding I went to in late November, felt fine the next day. And then, you know, the celebratory mood of the holidays and the general excess of the season, eating and having a lot of sweets and cakes and drinking, and it just kind of came up on me. And I kind of slipped back into my old patterns. And so it was after that, in January of the new year of this year, that I started looking at Sober Clear. I've been watching your videos for a while on YouTube. They were also very persuasive. And so that's when I sort of started to make a more conscientious investment in my health beyond just buying a book.
So you became interested in like getting off the booze. You had this long commute. You better stop drinking book. Super helpful for about 6 months. And then you just reached a point where, you know, the thoughts came back, you drank at the wedding, and then slowly just started going back. A very typical story, you know, I hear this 70-80% of people in the program, very similar experience. They read a book, they'll stop, and then something will happen that just kind of gets them off the rails. So then, yeah, then you found the videos, and then what?
The difference I would say is that after having read the book, I was informed enough to know why I was drinking, whereas I didn't really know that before. I understood that I was still attaching on some level, even if intellectually I knew that it was bad for me, on some deep-seated level, I was still attaching a positive value to alcohol consumption. So that made me, you know, more interested in something more holistic beyond just a book that I could invest in. And what attracted me to SoberClear was that it has some of the positive attributes about AA, but none of the negative, right? So I have an uncle who joined AA. He was a very bad, you know, drinker, drug addict, had very serious problems, joined AA many years ago and was very successful in the program and was sober for decades, right? So it worked for some people, I acknowledge that, but I felt like it wasn't for me. I didn't like the negative labeling that you have to do. And I felt that for many people, it's sort of a substitute for other addictions or what have you. There was just something, I didn't like the quasi-religious nature of it. But I did like, you know, I do like the sense of community. And I feel like that's kind of what you get out of SoberClear. I like that you have other people that you can talk to about this kind of thing, but it's not in a preachy way. I think that's where it's the same principles as the book that I read, but unlike the book where it focuses on getting over the hump and then you're done with it, SoberClear also focuses on the what next. Okay, so you've gotten past this thing of the consumption. What do you do after that? You know, where does your life go? And it focuses on the positive and the next steps in your life and optimizing your life. And you have a sense of community and people that you can talk to, but without labeling yourself in a negative way, right? And so that's what I would say is the differentiator between that and a book, whether it's Alan Carr's or any other book, which, again, I recommend those books. But I would say you get more out of it in terms of a sense of community and having people to talk to. And I have found that very valuable in my journey.
Yeah, nice. Perfect. So you made this point of how, you know, we focus on building a better future. So how has that looked for you? Like over the past 8 months, what changes have you seen personally?
I would say some of my health problems just magically went away. So I've mentioned I was having trouble sleeping. I had a pretty, you know, I would say significant sleep apnea problem. Just went away without any sort of medical treatment. Ditto with the acid reflux. It just stopped. You know, occasionally I might have a little bit of something related to something I might, you know, if I have a lot of fried food or something, it might sort of a little bit, but, basically the drinking was the reason I was having it or the major aggravator of it. I sleep much better. My concentration is much, much better. My energy level is better. And I would say that I can think, in a big picture way, much more clear than I could before. I see that my career in particular, I'd say that there is some calmness that's come to my relationships with my partner. Again, not that we were having problems before, but I would say it's better now. My career, and my dreams about running my own business and so forth and certain big picture goals are now starting to transpire. And I think that they probably would not have transpired had I not gotten into this way of thinking and this initiative and this program. I left a six-figure position to start my own business and consulting and being self-employed. And I'm also looking into other business opportunities to have multiple revenue streams. This is something I've dreamed about doing for years. And it's a transformative part of my life. And I think it's directly related to better health. Yeah.
Man, this is awesome. So, and I think you made a really good point. You said you're able now to think in a bigger picture. And I think what happens is when we have had a problem of drinking for many years and we know it's a problem that we want to solve, but we put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. And eventually we say, now, you know what? I'm solving this problem. You go in, and then when it finally clicks and you know that you're not going to drink anymore, it gives you permission to make bigger dreams because you start having the self-confidence that when you say you're going to do something, you actually follow through with it. So if you say, do you know what? No, I am starting that business. I am going to do it. Well, hang on. I've got a track record now of not drinking alcohol. I've said that I'm going to do something and it's working. Then it's like, well, hang on. Why can't I go and start the business? Why can't I go and do that next big thing I've always wanted to do? And you've done it. What a great example.
Yeah, it's kind of serendipity. I just sort of, you know, came across your videos, started watching them. That led me to the book. That led me to my first experience, you know, the Alan Carr book. That led me to my first experience last year where I got a little taste of it and made me much more aware. And then, you know, circling back to your program and taking a harder look at it and deciding, let me invest in this for my health. And I think that it's been, you know, really beneficial. And yeah, it's given me the courage to step out of my comfort zone in more ways than one in terms of my career and business and take chances that I probably wouldn't have taken before. You know, I won't say, you know, there are times when I might still think about it, you know what I mean? But I would say I'm in a much better place now, a much healthier place physically and psychologically, mentally, you know, emotionally. There's not that undermining thing there anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's even, I've even had a positive takeaway from the sense that if you know, alcohol can be marketed to make so many people believe that it's this really positive thing when we know that it's not, then I sure as hell can market what I have to sell, which is actually, you know, the things that I want to do, you know, books and things like that, magazines and my consulting service and art and things that are actually positive. Right. So it's all just a question of, like, you know, how you market. And so I guess one sort of silver lining is if that industry can be so successful in marketing something so negative, that anything's possible, you know. So I know that's a weird observation, maybe, but, you know, it just it's been a very educational ride. And I've also connected with some really interesting people in the program. People that you wouldn't think, you know, you have anything in common with at first blush, you know, all different kinds of fields, parts of the country, parts of the world, even. Some people with, you know, with children, some with not, some with their own businesses, some who worked in corporate roles or what have you. Many times people like myself who were successful on the surface of it, they might have a good marriage or, you know, good income, et cetera. But there was this big problem that was just getting in their way and just holding them back. And so now they are kind of, you know, they've gotten past a substantial barrier, but they have people to talk through it with and sort of, you know, relate their day-to-day experiences. And, you know, some people are really doing serious repair work with their families and things like that. And it's good to sort of, you know, have a feeling that you can help other people too and talk to other people as they are helping me.
Yeah, nice. Okay. So after that relapse, after your first 6 months, can you remember like the turning point where you were like, nah, do you know what? I need to do something different. I need to invest in myself, whatever it was. Can you remember the point where you were just like, enough is enough?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I just woke up feeling lousy physically. And, you know, a serious hangover is just like, you know, of course, it's certainly not the first time it's happened. But, you know, years ago, I would say, oh, God, I really have to sort of get this under control or just not do that again. Then I would just go right back to, you know, the same old thing. Whereas this time I had much more awareness that, okay, I had started to sort of turn certain things around in my life and sort of reintroduce certain things that I had put on hold for a long time. And I was getting a taste of what it was like to be back in those things. And then after the holidays, I just felt that crash. And I just realized that I didn't want this to get in my way anymore, this problem to get in my way anymore. So it was time to get serious about this. I would say, you know, the monetary investment was a piece too. You know, you're sort of putting your money where your mouth is and treating this more strategically. And, you know, I just don't want this to be a problem in my life anymore. You know, it was sometime after the holidays. It was in like sort of early January. And I just thought, ugh, you know, there's just got to be a better way, you know. But now I had some education and some foresight into, you know, and some maturity around the topic to know that I don't need this.
Yeah, I think for you, you were, you know, you're very self-motivated. I'd say you were 90% of the way there on your own, and it was just that final 10% to actually, you know, just put the nail in the coffin and just move on.
Exactly. And again, I would say the differentiator is the emphasis that's, you know, over a book, is that this program gives you a way forward. It kind of helps you look at what is the next step. What do I do with myself now? And that sense of community that you can talk to people, you know. So I would say that's the help, and it is helpful. I would say that's the differentiator, you know. But it's not like AA, you know. It's like I said, it takes all the some of the pros from that, but none of the cons.
Yeah, love it, man. You're crushing. How has your social life been since stopping drinking?
You know, by the way, I love the example that you've given the program about, you know, little kids at a birthday party, and do they need, you know, scotch to have a good time? Obviously not. I've thought of that often. I would say that my social life is just as robust as it was before. You know, in the summertime, I still like to entertain and do things. You know, there have been times when I felt a little tug or a little challenge. You know, I have the awareness to know that, you know, if I'm attaching a false positive to, or a false value to this, to see through it. But, you know, there have been times, you know, when I've thought of it. I had some friends who questioned or pushed back or laughed at it. But I would say for the most part, people were supportive. And, you know, but I would say that the alcohol industry is still super, super pervasive, and it's around us all the time. But yeah, my social life is just as robust as it ever was, which just proves that you don't really need this. You know, you can continue. My relationships are great. You know, you do kind of embrace your more authentic self. You know, I think one attraction of the booze was that it helped me be the life of the party type of guy. And I've learned that I can still do that if I want to, but it has made me more introspective. Yeah, you know, I would say it's brought out a certain authenticity. You kind of learn more about yourself with the clear head. You know, you can sort of understand yourself better without it.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something that my friend once said. He said when he used to drink, he drank to become extroverted, to be the life and soul of the party. I'm not saying that this is what you were doing, but I could relate to what this guy said. He said he drank to be extroverted, and then he realized, I'm trying to impress a bunch of people and be the life and soul of the party, people I don't really like. And then he said when he stopped drinking, he realized that was never who I was. And he's actually a very introverted person that likes staying at home. Yeah, he'll still go out and socialize, but he never was that person. He was almost like just pretending to be somebody that he wasn't. And it was like when he stopped, he was just like, I don't need to pretend anymore. I can just be me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I would say, you know, I'm maybe a hybrid of that. I'm more introverted than I realized before. I still like socializing. But I also like, you know, being at home and quiet time and time for concentration. And I think that some of my dreams around, you know, making art and writing and so forth can actually, they feel much more tangible now than they did before, you know. Yeah, you do find your real self pretty quickly with a clearer head.
100%. 100%. So if you've got somebody, Nicholas, they're really on the fence, they're like, you know, they think they're going to book a call, they think they're going to join the program, but there's something that's stopping them. What's one piece of advice that you'd give to them to push them over the edge?
I would say that by doing it, you're not alone, that you will find a group of supportive people. You know, you'll find a lot of like-minded people. Think of it as an investment in your health. You know, even putting aside the sort of productivity things, maybe it's not even a career business matter. It's more just about your health, an investment in yourself. You know, if you're willing to join a gym or get Botox or, you know, whatever, these things, this is just as important or more so. You know, and that you will be surprised at what is possible by doing these exercises, joining the program, joining the groups and the discussions. It's really, really beneficial. That there's a whole world out there waiting for you. You know, all you have to do is just sort of like get the process rolling, and a lot of it will take care of itself. You do have to, I would say, you do have to want it. You know, the program provides a lot of benefits and so forth, but on some level, you've got to want it, right? So, you know, it's like completing anything else. You have to sort of be at a point where you want it, because other people can't talk you out of it per se. You know, I mean, they can give you arguments and rational reasons why, but on some level, it's got to be within you, you know. So I would say, if you're looking into it and you're curious, on some level, you know, this is what you need. So just take the first step and just go from there, and you'll be rewarded ultimately, I would say, beyond what you can imagine right now.
Thanks for checking out the Stop Drinking podcast by Sober Clear. If you want to learn more about how we work with people to help them stop drinking effortlessly, then make sure to visit www.soberclear.com.